This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Many thanks to Dan Bonner, who joined us in hour number one from Indianapolis. Wes, you pointed out a number of great guests are lined up here for the next couple hours. That includes our next guy who broke the story about Moses Wright. And if you just joined us, Moses Wright, positive test, will not be available for the Jackets as they take on Loyola Chicago coming up in game one in the first round. That is a big blow for the Jackets and really a big blow for college basketball because Moses has been such a great story and so much fun to watch this year.
Yeah, Jeff Gooden of Stadium is with us from Indianapolis this morning. Good morning, sir. Welcome back to the program. It sounds like you've been busy and we haven't played the first game yet.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't end between guys right now. I mean, you see him and Devion Harmon, and obviously Kansas is going to be without Jalen Wilson. It just sucks for these kids. And, you wish you're here, and it's great that we're having a tournament, but it's also just a reminder of it's not a normal tournament. You know, I can't see any of these coaches.
Right.
I can't talk to any of these players in person. The only time I can do it is not illegally, but watching them through a gate, play football or whatever on a ball field, on Victory Field. And that's the only time I've really seen anybody so far. Now, hopefully the atmosphere here in Indy will be better today, guys. You know, some fans will start to come in. But it's been different and a reminder of, like, it's great that we have a tournament, much better than a year ago, but hopefully next year we'll be back to normal.
Yeah, but it's also a reminder too, Jeff, you accept what you get and you can't worry about what you don't get. And that's been true for the last 12 to 13 months, whether we're talking sports, family, whatever the case may be. And, you know, the I would still sign up for this as opposed to what we went through a year ago, right? Even if it turns out that, you know, we're going to miss out on, number one, great teams, perhaps, some players, certainly some officials. I mean, it's been a combination of everything already before we get to the first game.
Yeah, your boy Teddy Valentine finally left yesterday morning. You know, he was going to try to stay here and wait this thing out and see if he could get in some Sweet 16 games. That didn't work out. We're going to miss six of the top officials, six of the top, certainly 60 officials. And let's hope that doesn't affect the quality. I think it will, of the tournament a little bit. But, yeah, listen, you're right. You're absolutely right, Pac. Don't complain about the food. Don't complain about the fact that it is what it is. It is what it is here, right? Like, I had a coach complaining to me yesterday. They had Wendy's for their first meal. You know what? Whatever. It is what it is. Deal with it.
Yeah. Jeff, they're going to play this event. The NCAA is almost determined to get to the finish line in one function or another. The things that go on, though, around the NCAA tournament, especially when we get to the Final Four, are legendary in the business of college basketball. How much of that do you think is going to get stemmed this year?
I mean, again, the business in terms of, are you talking like coaching carousel, Wes, or are you talking like concerts or like?
I mean, I'm thinking like, you know, transfers, coaching changes. We're going to have the transfer portal. We're still going to have coaching changes and coaching searches, but there won't be the lobby move you normally get in most cities.
I can give you a look at the transfer portal on my other laptop. It's humming. It's humming. Trust me. There were like 72 2 days ago. I think another 70 or so yesterday. It's out of control. Think about it. There are 4,500 total players, scholarship players in Division I. I was talking to Scott Drew yesterday. I said, what do you think the over-under will be on how many transfer? He said 2,000. I think it'll be closer to 1,500.
Wow.
Last 900. Wow. Last year was 900, guys. So, you know, I've kept this thing up forever. I think I started maybe 15 years ago at like 250. 250. It's now going to be 2,000. It's our culture. And these kids now. So, yeah, Wes, I mean, the transfer, we won't go into that much more of it. The one thing I would say is regarding the transfers, all these kids are in the portal, and the NCAA still hasn't come out with any decision on the one-time transfer waiver rule. Like, What the hell are you waiting for? You got all these kids that think they're going to be eligible next year. You have to do something immediately. Come out with, you've had enough time. Right. You've got to figure that thing out now.
I want to ask you about two ACC men's basketball coaches. One is Mike Bray at Notre Dame, announcing that he's coming back, and there was some speculation that he could be in trouble, and he said, no, I'm coming back, and they should be pretty good, by the way, next year. And number two, what Boston College did. Now, we had Earl Grant on the show the other day. So your take on both Notre Dame and BC.
Notre Dame, obviously, they haven't been, and Mike Bray would be the first to admit it. They haven't been what they should be. But Mike Bray still accomplished enough in his career, and he's like the best human being in the world. Like nobody in this business doesn't like Mike Bray. So everybody wants him to go out when he goes out the right way. And I'm glad Jack Swarbrick is going to allow him to do that. And Mike Bray wants to do that. Like you said, they got a good team coming back. Keep everybody, add another piece, and get back to the NCAA tournament. And then if you want to retire or Jack Swarbrick meets with you and they feel like it's the best way to do it, then they can part ways. Earl Grant in BC. You guys know I live in Boston. Listen, I'm happy for Earl Grant. I'm very, very happy Earl Grant got this opportunity. I don't understand the hire, okay? New AD Patrick Kraft, I don't get it when you have Mark Schmidt sitting there. And he's an alum, and he's done an incredible job at a brutal spot in Olean, New York. They're in the NCAA tournament this year. He's had them in multiple times. Earl Grant has the best job in the CAA, the best job by far at Charleston. And they've gone to the tournament once in seven years, and they've been very mediocre the last couple of years. Personally, I would have hired Mark Schmidt. I understand why, to some degree, they hired Earl Grant, but it's a completely outside-the-box hire in which Earl Grant better get a great staff. The other part I haven't even discussed is Earl Grant has never had a job, I believe, north of, like, maybe, I don't know, Clemson. He's never been in New England, and I grew up here, and I know, like, you want a guy that's a New England guy that's already got ties to the area, and Earl Grant doesn't have that, so you better hire one hell of a staff and some guys who have New England ties.
Jeff, you had the Moses Wright story. We know the impact it creates for Georgia Tech, and just, you know, how steep the hill now gets for Josh Pastner against Loyola. In particular, I told Pac, and you mentioned Oklahoma and Kansas and the situation Virginia's getting ready to go through. That dynamic of this in this event, I think if folks think once teams get to Indianapolis, we're not going to have more positives, I think that's a mistake. I think this is a storyline throughout the event, don't you?
Yeah, you know why? I've talked to plenty of coaches over the last few days since they've been here, and the one thing they've said is once they get to their hotel – they're allowed to kind of walk around a little bit. So they're talking to other coaches. Players are talking to other players. They can't leave the hotel. Okay. They're like curtains on every hotel. The only time they can leave their hotel is to go for, you know, practice for the games. And then to take this walk, to go to Victory Park where they can play whatever sport, whatever, spike ball or football or kickball. So that's all they can do when they leave, but within the hotel, they are allowed to move around a little bit. So if guys do test positive, which we've seen already, players here, who was Devian Harmon in contact with over the last couple of days, they don't have to wear their wristband the entire time. They have to wear it at team functions, right? Practices, meals, things of that nature. But when they're walking around, I hope I'm wrong. Guys, I really hope I'm wrong and it's not going to spread through at all. But I think we're fooling ourselves if we think that we're not going to have a couple more issues here.
Jeff, we got seven ACC teams in the dance. Of the seven, who do you feel the best about as far as a deep run in the tournament?
Am I allowed to say none of the above?
Yes, you could.
None of the above. The Florida State, I guess. I mean, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't know if any of them have it in them to go to a Final Four. Now, having said that, if there's a year where there's going to be a surprise, this is it, guys. Like, I pick kind of chalk to some degree for my Final Four. I mean, I got Baylor Gonzaga. I have Baylor winning it all. I feel like from being here and these kids, now I know they've done this all year for the most part, being secluded. From their communities and college kids not being on campus and all that, you know, so they're not missing it as much. This is kind of what a lot of these freshmen are used to. Like Cade Cunningham doesn't really know better of what is an NCAA tournament supposed to look like, right? Even the sophomores, they didn't have a tournament last year.
Right.
So a lot of these kids don't know better, but I still think it's going to be the ones that are strong mentally that are going to be able to go deep in this tournament, as well as obviously having the talent. So to answer your question, I would say Florida State, if you put a gun to my head, but I don't know if any ACC team is going to the Final Four.
All right. I said in the opening segment with Packer, the hashtag not NCAA property started yesterday circulating, principally out of the Big Ten, but really stretched across the landscape of the game to all the major conferences. In your mind, what kind of situation do you think we're looking at there? The student athletes are, as I told Packer, they're going to use their voice here. They know they've got a platform, Jeff.
They do. And I talked to one of them, and basically I asked them, what do you want here? What do you want? Because NIL is coming. Well, hopefully it's coming for them soon. And I think they just want to make sure that they use their platform to help the next generation as much as anything. And we've heard of all these guardrails from the NCAA. And I think we all know the NCAA doesn't want to have to pay kids for name, image, likeness. They don't want to do it. They're forced to do it. So I think a lot of these kids are saying to themselves, you know, we want a meeting with Mark Emmert. We want to talk to him and try to figure this thing out. We want to have a voice in change. I don't think they're going to boycott or anything like that. I think it's more of, you know, we've been around for a while. We want to try to figure out what the best solution is for the next generation of college basketball or just college players.
By the way, we appreciate you repping the Charleston T-shirt. You've upgraded your game because I know how much you love that place.
Oh, man. A year and a half back, and I'm moving, and my daughter will be in college by then. And if you can help me find a good spot in the beach, I'm there.
Yeah, it's a good spot. They'll love you down there. You'll love you.
You just call me, Goodman. I got you.
Oh, there you go.
All right.
Golf game's going to get better.
Forget Pack. We don't need to involve Pack.
Hey, no, take me out. Take me out. Let me, you know, listen to Wes. If Wes says he's got a tie-in to what you're looking for in Charleston, go there. You got it.
We're in. I got to make Pack money, though. That's the problem.
No, we got to find some of that Packer bread now, Goodman. There is no doubt about that Packer bread. That Packer bread is long.
Packer bread is like it's under the mattress or something. He doesn't ever take that out.
Dude, it is so long. His money is so long. Roddy Jones, when we get to football, Roddy Jones says, Packer's got some of that first-round draft pick money, Goodman.
Oh.
You know, he's got some long bread.
You know, you know what? You guys just need to work for a living. That's how you get there. Just got to work. Jeff, you got to start getting to work, Goodman.
Hey, I'm going to work today. I got a tough day. I got to drive to West Lafayette, the house that Robbie Hummel built, and watch a couple games. And, man, am I excited. Like, I haven't watched a game other than Merrimack Bryant. I haven't watched a game in person since the end of November, guys. So
that's
for
good.
Me today,
it's nice.
I don't know. It's like Christmas and everything rolled up into one.
Well, keep up the great work, man. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Always appreciate it. Jeff Goodman of Stadium. You bet. Be safe. Look forward to following his coverage of the NCAA tournament as well. Roddy Jones, you got that first-round bread. We know. Look, Goodman called your bread out right there on TV. Unbelievable.
No.
Just called you out right there.
Well, I mean, he can call me out all he wants, but it's just not accurate. He does a better job covering sports than he does pigeonholing me. I can tell you that right now.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Still to come on the show, Pack. Co-host Leonard Hamilton at 8:30. Courtney Banghart, 8:45. Quentin Hillsman, 9:15. Kenny Brooks, Virginia Tech's head women's coach, 9:30. We turn our attention to Texas and the San Antonio area coming up. Bottom of the hour, though, our co-host Leonard Hamilton will join us from Indianapolis. We'll get an update on the Noles and check in with Coach Ham. Packer, Durham, and Ham.
Yeah, and I still have Florida State in the Final Four. I know Greenberg's not high on the ACC. Goodman wasn't feeling it.
Goodman.
But I got Florida State in the Final Four. Call me crazy.
That's right. There you go. Time for this week's edition of True or False, presented by
Dish. Tuned into you.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the voice of victory.
Voice of victory.
One of the most trusted names in television production, Josh Macri. Josh, good morning.
You say one of them. Like, who else is trusted besides Drew Brooks and myself? Where are the guys who produce your show? So who do you trust more?
That's a good point.
Can I get back to you?
Good
on
point.
That one?
Yeah.
How much false. Time do we have to answer that?
Good point.
False. Is that false?
Positive negativity is there with you today. I like that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Like all that. All right.
All right.
True or false?
True or
presented
false,
by
presented
Dish.
By Dish.
True.
As
bingo.
We covered a few minutes ago with Jeff Goodman, Jay Heath, one of several players who are in the transfer portal. He joins fellow
several.
ACC stars. Yeah, about 2,000 of them. Xavier Johnson and Audis Toney, to name a few. With the intra-conference transfer rules being adjusted, true or false, at least one men's player from the ACC will be playing for another ACC school at the start of next season.
True.
True. True. I'm absolutely into this. And Isaiah Wilkins of Wake Forest went into the transfer portal the other day. He spent 2 years at Virginia Tech, 1 year at Wake Forest. And I think I sent the note to you guys and said, can he be the first three-school guy in ACC history? And I'm Isaiah Wilkins. Somebody takes a chance on Isaiah Wilkins. He's a shooter. He's got a lot of experience. He's played a lot for Virginia Tech, minimal role this year at Wake Forest. Why not, right?
Trifecta.
Jay Heath, I think there's somebody for sure that plays for an ACC school next year, don't you, Pac? I think that's a layup.
I do, too. I mean, why not? I mean, the rules are wide open. That if that's what rocks your world, go for it. And you can. And that's the world. Again, that's what we've got now. So,
but
yeah, I think so.
Here's the other thing, though. If you're a coach and you know the kid's in the portal and you're familiar with the kid and you scouted the kid and played the kid once or twice during the course of the year, and you knew that kid would want to come to your school, why wouldn't you take that kid? That's more of a known than some of the unknown that goes with the rest of this.
Totally agree. True.
Yeah.
Next question.
Josh.
As we're all aware, the NIT opens and NC State begins its run at an NIT title tonight against Davidson.
Yep.
True or false, the Wolfpack will win more postseason games than any other men's ACC team that hails from the Carolinas, plural.
True. True.
Yeah, true. True. Because if Carolina beats Wisconsin, I'm not sure I like the Tar Heels on Baylor in any way, shape, or form. But I would say the Wolfpack has a chance. I think NC State's got a real chance to do some things in this event. And I think I think they're interested and looking forward to being there too, Pack. And as you know, in the NIT, that's part of the equation. You got to want to be there a little bit, right?
Well, the reason I say true is not what North Carolina and Clemson may or may not do. It's that I have confidence in NC State will be engaged. And they were playing terrific basketball. They just ran up against a Syracuse team that ran them out of the gym. I think NC State will be dotting. By the way, do we have a BPI number on NC State Davidson? Do we have that?
We do.
Oh,
we do?
Wait.
Just out of curiosity.
Wait,
52.9%.
NC State's favorite or not favorite?
Davidson.
Oh.
52.9%.
BPI, wrong answer. I'll take NC State. Wes, you in the mood?
Ah.
I like NC State against
Davidson.
Yeah,
I'll take that. I do too. Bob McKillop's a heck of a coach. Don't get me wrong.
Coach.
It's not an indictment of that. That guy's great.
Great coach.
Great coach. But I think NC State's very interested in being there.
I do, too.
Everything that I've been led to believe, the Wolfpack are excited.
I agree. I'm going to go against BPI.
This is as much, and yeah, I will offer this, Josh. I think this is as much about 21-22 as it is 2021 for NC State.
Totally agree. Totally agree with that.
This is like one of those bowl games. One of those bowl games where we talk about the teams playing as much for next year as this year. I think that's where NC State is tonight.
Yep. I'm with you. 100%.
By the way, the game is at 7 o'clock tonight on ESPN, by the way.
Accurate.
That is true. That is true.
As a quick follow-up before we leave the Wolfpack, true or false, the NIT counts as a nice thing?
True. Nice. I mean, listen, if you're in it, you might as well go win it. You know, it's like if I'm going to be in the dog ate my homework .com bowl, I mean, if you accept to play in it, you might as well go win it. Go get and take care of business, put a banner up, put wear some rings, T-shirts, carry the swag. So, hey, if you're in the NIT and you accepted to be in it, go win the thing. So, yes, true.
True. Yeah. All right.
I
didn't mean to cut you off, Wes.
Agree with that.
Good.
No, you're good.
True or false, the ACC women's basketball teams will finish the tournament with more total wins than their male counterparts.
True.
Oh, true.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Number one,
you got
eight teams.
You got two teams that might win
the whole thing,
9 or 10 games.
Right, right,
yeah,
right. True. I think the ladies will absolutely take care of business, and the men potentially could with a break here or there. But the ladies, yep. NC State and Louisville in particular, have a legitimate chance to both get to the Final Four. I don't think we have two men's teams that can get to the Final Four. I don't believe that.
Yeah. There we go.
All right, guys. Quint Kesnich was on with us yesterday, and he said that six ACC wrestlers have a legitimate chance to win national titles this weekend. Six might be a little aggressive, but true or false, the ACC will win more than three individual wrestling national championships.
Man, I would love to say true to this, and I hope we can't do that from a league perspective. We've had so much fun with wrestling, but three is a big number. I'm going to say false, and I hope I'm 1,000% wrong.
I'll go true. I like 125 and 149 to start with. How's that?
You better find two more, because the question is, we'll win more than three.
More than three?
That's the question.
Yeah, because I think, you know, let's go. I'll take true on this.
I like it.
I think these guys are going to show up in a big way. I think it's been a better year than people realize. And it's, again, we're not as fluent in this as maybe others, but there's something going on in this league, in this sport right here. There's something going on in this league. And, it's on the network. We talk about it a lot. We enjoy the conversation, the camaraderie we've developed with all these schools and coaches and so forth. But you sense from talking to them that this league is a lot better than people think. Last year we didn't have the chance to prove it as the league got better. Now you get the sense the ACC maybe has that opportunity. And nobody's talking about Makai Lewis because of the injury too, which is interesting.
I hope you're right. It'd be awesome to see these guys take care of business, but that's a big number.
Yeah, no question.
We'll see. It's going to be fun.
Yep.
All right, guys, last one. So yesterday at Pitt's Pro Day, Jalen Twyman put up 225 pounds 40 times on the bench.
Yeah, he did.
True or false, the two of you could put up 40 reps of 225 pounds if we gave you the rest of your lives to do it?
I have a question.
Yes.
225 pounds of what?
Weight.
Oh, weight. No. That's false. False. Barbecue, pizza, ribs. Yeah, no doubt. Actual weight? No.
Stop all that conversation this.
That would be false in all capital letters. False.
Look at that.
Grown man right there.
Come get me.
Yep.
Let me tell you now. Whoa. I don't know how many people follow the combine and all this other stuff. I'm just telling you, 40 of those get you noticed. That gets you noticed.
That would be
by the way, they had a heavy falls for me. Sensational. It would be false for me as well. They had an exceptional pro day yesterday at the University of Pittsburgh. An exceptional pro day.
Pat's got dudes.
Let me tell you what, they had guys. It's available on the ESPN app, by the way, from yesterday. I went back and watched some last night, Pack. I mean, Damar Hamlin did some things. Rashad Weaver, by the way, was there. Looked great. Patrick Jones looked great. Twyman's bench looked great.
All defensive dudes. Yeah, listen, this is why I like
your man Paris.
This is why I like Pitt in the summer. Ford. Wes, this is why I was bragging about Pitt in the summertime. They've got dudes now.
Yeah.
That doesn't surprise me at all. They got some Sunday guys.
Packer and Durham. This is the Packer and Durham podcast.
Leonard Hamilton will join us here momentarily from Indianapolis, Florida State. I still have faith in him, Wes. I know the 25 turnovers were a bugaboo in the ACC title game, but that is still a talented bunch, and still think they can make a run and get to the Final Four. Call me crazy.
I'm with you on that. Absolutely. I think UNCG will be a handful. Wes Miller does a great job, but and I think they'll have to get through the same thing we've talked about this week. You know, getting through kind of the early butterflies, nerves, whatever it is about an NCAA tournament situation. You get the win, then all of a sudden you're telling me Georgetown, Colorado. I like them against both those teams.
I do too.
I mean, I've watched Colorado play a couple times this year. Tad Boyle does a great job. McKinley Wright's a really talented player. Florida State's just got more bodies. That in this event, I mean, look at Georgia Tech. And granted, it's the ACC Player of the Year, so it's devastating. But Georgia Tech doesn't play more than 7.5 guys, right? 8 guys max. And you take one from there, and that's like taking a room off the house. The idea at Florida State, though, you got so many different bodies to pull from, Pac. And I just think their depth is really a huge asset in this event. I really do.
And I think the way the ACC tournament ended, the way the regular season ended, the fact the way last year ended, where they, you know, had a chance and all of a sudden the rug was pulled underneath everybody's legs in terms of, hey, there's no tournament. I just sense that Florida State's got one more run. And, man, if there's ever a chip on the shoulder, this team has it. Now, those 25 turnovers, they'll remember that one because – they're looking around going, we had turned it over 25 times and lost by 5 to lose the title. Lots of talent, lots of dudes. They have size. They have athleticism. They have length. They play defense. They can shoot. That's why I like Florida State. I just think that they've got a chance, especially the bracket they're in, because I think of all the number one seeds, I think Michigan is the most vulnerable of the one seeds. Still a really good team, and they could get to the Final Four. Wouldn't shock anybody. But they're not whole. So I think they're in the right region to make a run. Gonzaga, Illinois, Baylor, loaded and ready to roll. Michigan could be had. So I think if you're a Florida State fan, from a bracket perspective, you found the right spot. Now you just got to go and take care of business.
Their games in this bracket, by the way, the East, that you would pay to see, just from a standpoint of end to end, right?
Oh, no question.
Florida State, LSU. Florida State, LSU, that'd be fun to see, wouldn't it? In
Alabama.
That'd be one.
There.
Yeah.
Texas.
What about Florida State, Texas? What about Florida State and Texas? I mean, they'd all be good to watch. So I know he's excited to get going. Let's go to Indianapolis. We're not ready. I'm sorry. I thought we had Coach ready. We'll have to vamp here for a couple more minutes because we're trying to get him connected from Tournament City, if you will. But I think that you look at those matchups, Pack, on the bracket, I think there's a lot there for them to be successful simply because of their experience and their depth. They're the deepest team in the tournament, don't you think?
I agree.
Sans maybe Gonzaga?
Well, Gonzaga's different. I mean, you got three guys that you got a first-team All-America and 2 second-team All-Americas. I mean, the Zags, to me, are a different breed. There's a reason there's a 0 in the loss column. I know people will bark about, well, they haven't played anybody. Yeah, they have. They've played everybody on their schedule.
Yeah,
they've played. And you got to look at that non-conference schedule early. They played a bunch of really, really good teams. Ironically, all in their bracket.
Blasted
they played
people.
Kansas, Iowa, and Virginia. Yeah. All three of them are in their region, and they've beaten them already. So I think the Zags, quite frankly, have a pretty good run as far as the setup for them. They got to go take care of business. I had Mark Few on the radio show the other day, and he said his guys are loose and they're ready to play. I think they're probably right. But I think if you're a Florida State fan, of all the teams in the ACC, I think Florida State's got the best chance to make the deepest run. And I know there are, you know, whatever the number is beside their name, they're four, whatever. That doesn't matter to me. You got to go play. But I think they have the makeup and the reason to say, hey, we got something to prove. And while we talk about incredible storylines with Gonzaga, if they run the table, the first team since Indiana, since 76, under that scenario, I also think at some point in time people talk about, well, is Mark Few ready to knock the door down and win a national championship? Yeah, he is. And you know what? Leonard Hamilton's ready to knock the door down and make it to a Final Four. It'd be a great story for a guy that's built such an amazing program. When you start talking about, hey, we talk about North Carolina and Duke, and we throw in Virginia, what Tony Bennett's done. Say it all the time. Mm-hmm. If you don't include Florida State in that conversation, you don't know what you're talking about. He calls them the New Bloods. He's right. But the program that he's built, it'd be awesome to see Leonard Hamilton in the Final Four.
Yeah, no doubt. And, of course, the Noles get started on Saturday when they play UNC Greensboro, champions of the Southern Conference, and the former Tar Heel Wes Miller's their head coach. He's got a really good team, and we're going to reset with Coach Ham to 9 o'clock this morning, Pac.
You know,
so it's I think like, he wanted to be in the Power Hour. I think he really wanted to be in the Power Hour.
You know, it's like the NCAA tournament. You know, I'd rather have them than not. So if we can get them for the full throttle at 9 a.m., that's what we're going to do, as opposed to squeezing them in, because we got so many guests today. And Courtney Banghart's coming up here momentarily. And, of course, the Heels women's program is in the big dance, too. They're going to take on Alabama. And it's always great having Courtney on. But we'll also touch base with Q, talking Syracuse and Kenny with Virginia Tech with the women's side. But we'll get Coach Ham on at the top of the hour. But, again, I like Florida State's chances. I think that if you're a fan of the Noles, you're certainly disappointed with the way the regular season ended and the inability to cut down the nets in Greensboro. But you know what? The big prize still awaits. And like I'll say it for the third time, they have the makeup of being able to get there. Now they just got to go execute. But they got to hold on the ball. 25 turnovers that Georgia Tech game is unacceptable. That's not good enough to beat good teams.
Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Right now, let's go down to the great state of Texas. Don't mess with Texas. Because guess what? The Heels have rolled into town. They are in the tournament. Courtney Banghart joins us from beautiful San Antonio. Courtney, first of all, great seeing you this morning. Congratulations. I know you and the girls are thrilled to be there.
Absolutely. Yeah, this is always a dream come true. So here we are.
Is it different with this Carolina team? I mean, I know you've been to this event before, and I know there's a lot of difference about it. But what makes this unique for you?
You know, it sounds kind of crazy, but our radio guy said, you know, now you've taken two different programs to the NCAA tournament. And I never really tracked on it like that. But, yeah, it shows that you've found success and found a way to win. But, you know, the thing I have such great respect for is that when I came here, I really knew I needed to rebuild this brand in a way that was longstanding and the way that was nationally recognized. And I knew it would take time. And I'm just thrilled that in year two, we're getting an experience that will bode well, really well in the future. And we get a chance to do what we can do this year that they earned. So that's just, it's really remarkable.
Courtney, we talked to Muffet McGraw on Monday, the day of the selection. And she said, you know, this day is excruciating for so many folks. And she mentioned you and she mentioned Jen Hoover at Wake and Coach Ivy at Notre Dame, because, you know, you think you're in, but you never know until they announce your name. So what was Monday like leading into the announcement?
Yeah, you know, I probably was overconfident. You know, I thought with what we had done and what our net ranking was and the fact that the year was so unique. So our record didn't show it, but we had no bad losses. We just didn't get to play a bunch of the teams that were kind of finished lower in the standings and played the upper teams so many times. So I probably was overconfident. So I was kind of expecting we were in. So it wasn't as nerve-wracking as it should have been. But I was operating more along the lines of we're in, and now we get to figure out who we're playing. So I have more excitement.
All right. So how do you channel all the momentum of last week and Monday in particular to now get ready to play Alabama? I mean, it's almost like you run the spectrum of emotions and things like that, right?
Yeah, you're right. Actually, the first thing I said to my group guys when we had, what was it, Tuesday for practice, I said, I finally have someone else to be mad at, right? Because for the last 10 days, I've been just critiquing our own performance and our own selves every day and with no idea who we're playing. And so I was able to focus on a different opponent. And I said, you're going to like me more starting now, you know? And it's true. I really focused on now on Alabama. So I'm less worried about some of the things that I was just nitpicky about before. My team's in a better place with me, I think.
We've heard so many stories about the guys up in Indianapolis as far as the players, the week, what's it been like? So with that said, what's it been like in Texas?
Yeah, you know, I think for college kids, what are they doing? They're watching Netflix and they're getting their meals delivered and they're laying in their beds, right? I think that's kind of what they do. It's the adults who I missed the memo that I wasn't going to be able to go for a run outside or do any of that. So it's you're really on lockdown. You know, I thought, of course, until you get your negative test and then it opens up a little bit. I mean, opens up a little bit, I think, means you can open your door on your own, your hotel room on your own. So, you know, it's been a really isolating experience. And hopefully that means we're really ready to play when we get a chance to all be together again.
All right. So wait a second. It's been more taxing on the coaches than the players because the players are kind of treating it like pseudo spring break.
Well, I mean, I think just when you put kids in a room and you give them free food and you let them just have an excuse to lay around and watch Netflix, I just have a hard time believing they're struggling with that. I just wonder how different that is than a regular Sunday on campus, right? I don't know, but I think for the adults, we're sort of used to acting a little bit more like, you know, our days are longer, so we get up earlier. So I've been up here and I can't do anything. So I can't exercise. You know, I think all those things, you know, but to be honest, it's just the kids want to play. We want to play. So we're grateful. The NCAA has done so much to make this happen. It's a well-oiled machine, as we all know. It's just really different. And so the other option is to opt out. And that's been an option all year long. And we wanted to play and I'm glad we did. And we're here. And you know, so all kidding aside, it's just an honor to be here. And I know that it's easy to complain about things that are different. But playing through a pandemic is a unique experience. And we're glad to be able to do it.
Coach, I got to be completely honest with you. After working around the clock, laying around in the bed with Netflix and Tex-Mex all day sounds like a pretty good deal. I'd like to sign up for that right now, not ask any questions.
I mean, that's what I mean. I think it's I get that they can't, I don't know, go walk around outside. But on Sundays, why don't you ask them what they do on campus from Sundays until noon, what they're doing there, you know? So, I think they're all right.
How about Alabama? Okay, what do we know about the Tide?
Yeah.
Well, we know a lot about them. I mean, we played them last year, but the problem is our team is entirely different and theirs is exactly the same. So they've got a ton of experience. You know, they start, I feel like they have like 5-8 years. You know, they've got so many old guys that play. They've got a three-headed monster that can really score. They try to make you beat yourself a bit on the defensive end. They play a bunch of zone, kind of a matchup, funky zone. They play some man-to-man. You know, you want experience going into the tournament and they have a lot of it. You know, they haven't had a lot of tournament experience, but they've got a lot of playing experience, that group. So, you know, and they've been challenged. The SEC is a challenging conference, just like the ACC. So, unfortunately there are no bad teams in March. They don't exist. And so this is a good team and, you know, we will have had a long time to prepare for them and a long time to think about them in this hotel room. So we'll be well prepared.
Coach, Janelle Bailey, Deja Kelly, Stephanie Watts, all key pieces to this team. I think of Janelle, I think, you know, someone who's got maybe the most experience. How valuable is it to have somebody like her this week, not on the floor, but before you ever get to the floor?
Yeah, you're so right. This is, you know, I've been here 8 times before, and you want experience going into the tournament. You want people that understand the moment. You want people that handle their business in a way that they can do it. And Janelle's been through this season and this journey so many times. And, you know, her steadiness and her experience all year has been invaluable. And so we'll need her. And I hope for her benefit, she really plays one of her best games because she's done a lot to stay at Carolina through this transition and has been, has been a consistent contributor throughout her 4 years.
Coach, 8 ACC teams get a bid. I would only think that this helps you in the tournament. When you play that many quality teams, and granted, you said because of COVID, you didn't get a chance to play everybody, but you know what? You can't hide in this league. You either can play, get exposed, or you can't, right? It's one way or the other. So I would think that only will help you moving forward, and that's true for you and everybody else from the ACC that's now jumping in March Madness.
Absolutely. I mean, the ACC helped us all year. You know, when we said we didn't get to play them all, we didn't get to play the ones that aren't in the tournament. We played all the ones that are in the tournament plenty of times, right? We did Tech 3 times and Syracuse and NC State twice. It's a real credit to our league. It's a real credit to the coaches. You know, I know we were all sort of texting each other after the selection show, just happy for one another because we need each other to be our best. And, you know, iron sharpens iron. And I feel really grateful that, especially because, you know, remember, guys, I came from Princeton where, you know, this was the NCAA tournament game was your biggest, the most competitive game you had all the way since probably March. I mean, I'm sorry, since November. And so you come at it with a little bit of a disadvantage in that way. And I feel very differently prepared coming from Carolina where I've been in the battle all February in every game, every possession. So, yeah, I give the ACC a lot of credit. I'm sure grateful to be in it. And we'll do our best to continue to raise the conference.
How well do you think this league will do? I mean, you look at the bracket like everybody else. I'll take you away from your game. I mean, we all know NC State and Louisville are the two top teams. They played a great championship game in Greensboro. But, I mean, on the whole, this league brings some people to the table. You'd be one of those schools. I'm excited to see what Wake Forest does, Virginia Tech with Kenny Brooks. Yeah. I mean, you've seen all these teams.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they're – you know, it's all matchups. It's so cliche, but matchups are an important part of this in March for both sides, right? And I think that the ACC is well respected by the committee, by well respected by the other coaches, and well respected by our opponents. And you know, we've got this team. This league is full of teams that are all really different. You know, what makes Virginia Tech great is very different than what makes Syracuse great, which is very different than what makes Florida State great. And so I'll be tuned in as well. You know, this is the one time a year we root for them all. So we'll be rooting hard for our conference.
This is a crazy question, Coach, but do you fill out a bracket?
I do. Yeah. I have Carolina. I mean, Carolina, I filled out a men's bracket. A women's bracket's a little too close to home still because it's just, it would be Carolina all the way to the top. But our men's bracket also has Carolina Gonzaga in the final.
Now,
heard it here.
Wow. Now, all right. No, have you shared that with Coach Roy?
I haven't, actually. Will that put pressure on him? Maybe I sat with him at the baseball game for a little bit the other day. And this is before it was Sunday. So before he had his matchup. And he said, you know, we're playing well now. And I'm glad it's not a team that we were playing last month because this is a much better team. And but I like their matchups across the board. I'm biased, but I in Roy, I trust. So we're going for it.
All right, one more thing. Given the mindset that everybody's under quarantine, and again, it's been a crazy year, and now you've got to where you want to go, and the fun really begins, what kind of – and mind game is not the right answer here, not the right wording – but what kind of motivation do you give your team to keep them mentally sharp when it's easy to sit around and watch Netflix and eat you know, Mexican food all week? I'm just curious. What you have to have some kind of plan to keep everybody refreshed mentally. So how do you do that?
Well, we were playing, we were at COVID testing yesterday and we were playing on our phones. Everyone was in a massive game of Uno while we were waiting for our results. You know, I think because we're not together as much as we're used to, we're really excited when we are together. And that alone will keep us engaged, I think. Sometimes absence, you know, makes the heart grow fonder, and we'll be really fond of one another when we start seeing each other more and more here as the quarantine ends. But, you know, as I always say this, if you're nervous in March, or if you're unprepared in March, that's on you. You know, because this is, you've worked all year for this. You've practiced the day after Christmas. You've practiced Thanksgiving Day. You know, you've given up your spring break. I mean, you just, if you're nervous or not ready, that's on you. And I think that's a very rare emotion people have in March.
By the way, who's the Uno champ on this team?
That's a good question.
This is really hard to say because we haven't played enough. In my defense, we don't have a large sample size. So Janelle won twice. Jalen won once. I was in great position, and then the results came back, so the game shut down.
Oh,
so I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you on that. But it's neat because you just sort of say someone yells out. Yeah. You gonna
wait a second.
I like the fact that you're gonna need some help here.
No, I was. I like the fact that you were telling me it was going really well and I was doing well, and then the game shut down.
Facts. Yeah, facts. Yeah, I had 2 cards left. Everybody else had a lot.
Yeah.
And
let me tell you,
miraculously shut down.
Courtney, let me tell you how I read this. All right, now Coach Mack up there at BC has already told us she is incredibly competitive when it comes to board games, right? And I've said this before in the air. I've got family members that if there's a board game, you would think it is to the death. Like it is like, you got to be kidding me. It's just a board game. I'm getting a sense from you, just your competitive nature and in the DNA, that if it's a board game, you're there to win. If it's a little competitive game, hey, I'm not just doing this to kill time. I'm here to be the champ. That's what I'm reading from you.
Yeah, I don't understand people. My mother is one of these they play to play. I don't understand what that is. Like, I actually don't understand. Like, you play to play. What is that? Like, so yes, when we play Uno, I prefer people to finish games that they're losing. Yes.
You know what? I am a good judge of talent. I could see those eyes even on this Zoom call that you are not messing around. Hey, if we're going to play, I'm here to take you out. That's what I'm reading.
Oh, yeah. Like they gave us this nice gift bag, and a really great creative idea that they gave us. They gave a puzzle. It's like a 100-piece puzzle, and I'm guessing because to try to help the quarantine deal. And Malou sent out a group text to our group thread that said, who wants in? So today we're going to have a puzzle challenge. We're going to hit play, and we're on it. About to find out. It's about to get serious. It's about to get serious here in quarantine.
Best of luck.
Coach, good luck.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for all you do. You're fun to follow. Go Heels.
The Packer and Durham Podcast.